Welcome, everyone, to the Week 2 episode of Take the Points. I am Tom Zalesnak, and I'm here with Dan Partridge. Dan, congratulations to Josh Rosen for winning the Week 1 Heisman Trophy.
Oh, yes, fantastic. UCLA always overhyped early September. Here we go again.
Dan, I thought I would start our show with a special tribute. We have a message from a fan of the show and former college football player. I'm going to play it right now.
Oh.
Hi, everyone. My name is Kenny Trill. You might remember me as the guy who was really good for 1 week for Texas A&M last year. I want to talk to you about a very important issue today. It's... Sorry, I tend to laugh when I do PSAs. I want to talk to you today about Week 1 hype. A lot of people thought that I was the Heisman favorite and the greatest player of all time, better than Johnny Manziel. Well, look at me now, redshirting for TCU. I don't even get to play until next year, and Kyle Allen and a guy named Kyler Murray have taken my job. You know, we think it's fun to hype up people in Week 1, but Week 1 hype can hurt. And not just me, it hurts all of us. So please, avoid Week 1 hype, and I'll see you next year as the backup for TCU. Goodbye.
Well done. Well done.
That's Kenny Trill, Dan.
Oh, Kenny Trill.
You may not remember him, but if you go to a library and look up their microfiche on the 2014 Texas A&M season, you'll find that he was considerably hyped.
Microfiche, one of the most underrated library tools of all time. We're going to put that on record.
So do you want to give our listeners the speech about not overreacting to Week 1?
Yeah, man, just calm the fuck down. Like, this happens all the time, especially UCLA. Everyone's like, Brett Hundley's going to be so good, right? No, he's horrible. UCLA was bad last year. Look, I'm not saying that this kid isn't going to be great, but let's just calm down. Just please, it's one star. Just because it's the University of California at Los Angeles, you got to pump the brakes a little bit. So we'll see what happens. Good luck to the kid, but let's just take it easy. And can we talk about A&M for a second? A&M is cool, man. They are not an unranked team. I was watching that game going, if Arizona State's 15th, what's A&M? And I'm like, oh, 8th, 10th? Really good dual quarterback play, explosive, the Scottsdale connection. Kevin Sumlin's got that, you know, awesome swagger. Hats off to a brand new revamped defense that look great. So A&M looks sharp.
Funny you should mention hats, because I hope you caught the post-game interview with Kevin Sumlin with his ridiculous cowboy hat.
Oh, yeah.
I hope he's wearing that the rest of the year.
Freaking fantastic.
Yeah, they were good. It's way too early to get into a top four, but the four teams that impressed me the most were A&M, OSU, Bama, and then Notre Dame, who I didn't expect to have such a dominant performance. Even though Texas is not great, that was really a one-sided domination, and Zaire looked really nice. So congrats to them. But Texas A&M was the one team that really shocked me.
Great.
And by the way, the new rankings just came out, and they are now 16th in the country. So unranked no longer.
Way too high still, but that's fair.
That's fine.
Doesn't matter.
Who are your impressive teams from Week 1, or what are your commentary on Week 1?
A&M obviously looked great. Notre Dame smashed a horrible Texas squad that looks confused. Alabama played okay. I think Wisconsin was kind of like out of their league. I feel like, I don't know.
I thought watching that game, Wisconsin actually looked pretty decent, and I think they're going to have a good season, probably win the Big Ten West or at least compete for it. I came away from that game thinking that both teams looked pretty good. Alabama just made a few extra plays here and there, and nobody could stop Derrick Henry, but I wouldn't call that a blowout at all.
Yeah.
And Wisconsin's young, and Joel Stave clearly is over the yips, so Good news if you're a Wisconsin fan. Oh, and they also have the easiest schedule of all time.
It helps.
So you'll be in good shape.
Good. Yeah. Auburn had some issues with Louisville, but they did play really well for most of the game on the defensive side of the ball. Their quarterback, Jeremy Johnson, had a rough game, but that's kind of be, you know, I mean, first of all, there was a lot of, like, hype and expectation. Two, this is a national TV game. And three, it's Louisville's defense. Even though, you know, their former head coach, Charlie Strong, isn't there anymore, it's still a whole bunch of players that he, you know, recruited, and it's his, you know, personnel and system. So it's a very tough defense to play. I mean, Louisville had an entire offseason to see Auburn's, coverages and formations. So what I'm trying to say is Auburn will be fine going forward. And we said to lay off Auburn minus the, 10.5 for 11. And we were right because they won by 7. So Auburn will be okay. Alabama, obviously impressive. And SEC is crazy. Here we go.
There's two ways to look at that game. One is to say Auburn struggled and Johnson struggled. The other way I've been looking at it the last day or two is that he played pretty poorly and they still won, I would say, not decisively, but you never really felt like Louisville was going to win that game from them.
No,
so if he gets it together, that is a top 4 caliber team, I would say.
Oh, yeah. A lot of talent on that team. A lot of talent all over the field.
So one other thing we should get into before we get into the week 2 lines, Dan, the gambling moment of the week. And it was a pretty easy one this week. One of the gambling moments of the year, possibly the BYU Hail Mary to hit that over. And to win the game, but mostly to hit the over.
Outstanding job by them to execute the Hail Mary and to get the over. Very nice. Very impressive. There's also another crazy gambling moment that happened I'd like to quickly bring up.
Sure, go ahead.
The University of Georgia played against some no-name. Maybe it was like UL Monroe.
A no-name, Dan. It was UL-M.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, it was ULM. I apologize to the UL. LM, whoever gods, that's my fault. Anyway, if you had Georgia in the over, you want to be kicking yourself because A, the over was already in check, and B, Georgia was covering the spread by 1 point, and with 9 minutes to go, there were thunderstorms, and both teams decided to call the game. When a game is called, it does not matter what the score is, all bets are returned, no one wins or loses. So it'd be a pretty hard thing to actually have the over already in and not be able to cash that bet. So, tough break.
I believe that over came in the third quarter as well. So you had a whole quarter where you're just, you know, counting that in your bank account.
No lightning. Yeah, and then you get lightning.
Yeah. Screwed over by the Thunder gods. But what can you do? And LSU didn't even play because of Thunder. So if you bet on that one, you got your money returned. But they never played the game, so it wasn't too heartbreaking.
Yes.
Dan, there's one more thing I wanted to get into, and you may have seen it. It was a few times, I believe, but ESPN on their bottom line, which now, remember when the bottom line just did scores of the sport you were watching? Now they've got like a stock ticker. They tell you what Donald Trump's up to. But I saw an interesting thing, which was a cover alert, sort of like their score alert, but it was about a team that came back to cover. And I also saw our favorite guy, Mr. Phil Steele, on TV talking about gambling.
Yes.
Dan, I feel like we have finally been vindicated. ESPN's given up the charade, and they're just full-on covering gambling.
As they should. I mean, come on. There's a huge market for it. Why not? Everyone wants to know what the spread is. Makes total sense.
Cover alert. Breaking into coverage on the bottom line for a cover alert. It's a proud day, Dan, a proud day.
Yeah.
I like to think we played a very small part in that, even though we didn't at all.
Who gives a shit? I'll take credit.
All right, Dan, we have a ton of week 2 lines, so let's get right into it.
Brilliant.
And let's start with one Friday night game. That is Utah State at Utah. It's 13.5-point line. Now, I should mention, I checked the lines earlier today, so we're taping this on Tuesday. There's been a lot of movement, so my lines might be off by a point or two here or there, but you're looking at about 2 touchdowns. Utah State really struggled against Southern Utah. They beat them 12-9. And Utah looked pretty good against Michigan team. Utah's got a lot of talent there. It's a really tough place to play, although not as tough of a trip if you're Utah State as opposed to, say, Michigan. But I like Utah a lot in that game to cover the 13.5 or whatever.
Right. You know, it is a hard game because it's a rivalry game, and it's in-state, and it's a Friday night game, and it's the only game in the whole season that Utah State cares about. They had no motivation last week. Utah had a lot of motivation. Now Utah in a short week. It's really close. That's exactly where I would put the spread, about 14 points. So for me, I'm going to have to stay away on this one.
All right. Well, think about it later for a teaser. By the way, we apologize to the fans for forgetting our famous Dan P's 13-point teaser bet, but we will be back at the end of this episode.
Hint, hint, that game might be on there.
All right, moving on to the Saturday games, 11:30 a.m. kickoff time. This one's even too early for Doris Burke. We've got South Florida at Florida State.
Line of the year.
4-touchdown favorite for the Seminoles, who look pretty decent against a garbage opponent. Dan, your Florida theory. I think we need to lead off with this.
Florida theory. All these guys know each other. They all have been playing ball against each other for 10 years on different levels. When possible, take the points in any Florida matchup. I'm taking South Florida in the 28 all day.
Me too, and that about covers it. And the talent doesn't matter.
Nope.
Think about when you're playing your friends in the backyard.
Way different.
It's not like that at all. But I'm taking South Florida in the 4 touchdowns against Florida State. They're going to be tougher than whatever team Florida State beat. I can't remember what it was. But it was nobody good, and Everett Golson's going to struggle, you know, in his first game against a more quality opponent for Florida State. So take the points. First one of the week, take the points.
Yeah.
All right, Jacksonville State at Auburn, 36-point line, 62 over-under. We talked about Jeremy Johnson and his struggles. What do you think?
Auburn overs until future notice. Over 62.5, I think Auburn scores 63.
That's a pretty tight bet.
Yep. 63, but I don't know. They might give up a bunch. But probably not. But I'm more comfortable in the over than the point spread. So I'm going to just take the over in that game. Feel pretty good about it.
Oh, you think Auburn scores 63 on their own?
Yeah, why not?
Okay, I misunderstood that. I thought you thought that it was going to be a 63-point total. No, you're really living on the edge there.
No, I'm not like Aerosmith.
Okay, that's good. All right, Dan, moving on to Army at Connecticut. Now, I can give the fans a little inside scoop because I kicked off the college football season at Pratt & Whitney Stadium at Rentschler Field, the new home of UConn. Yes, I walked from the Busch Light parking lot into the Pratt & Whitney Field. And what I saw was not pretty. I sat in the season ticket holder section because I won these tickets in a raffle. So I got the good 100-level seats. The stadium was about half full, which is about standard for a UConn game. Yeah. And they were playing Villanova, who is FCS, but they're one of the better FCS teams. Their quarterback won the FCS Heisman, I was told. I can't verify that, and I don't care to look it up. But Villanova, pretty decent as FCS teams go, which makes them about on par with UConn. It was a tight game, 6-2 late in the second. I can't even get through it without laughing. So it was 6-2. I texted you that, and you said classic UConn score, which made me laugh. Then Villanova scored a touchdown right before half. UConn was trying to score, but they threw an interception on the 5-yard line and then subsequently were booed off the field by their own fans in the first game of the year, starting mostly freshmen and sophomores. So that's how bad they were that the UConn, Connecticut is not Florida. This is a classy state, but the fans felt compelled to boo these 19-year-olds off the field. But UConn came back strong. They scored on the first drive of the second half and they won 20-15. Over FCS Villanova. And now UConn's undefeated and has half of their win total of last year, Dan. So fans are pretty excited. Also, a Sam Adams cost $9.
There's a lot going on with what you just said. The
There is.
amount of sponsors that they need to cover this piece of crap football team, one. Two, how did this team play in a Fiesta Bowl? Did that actually happen?
It
Like,
did happen because I
was I on
bet
acid? Because there's a chance I was on acid.
I bet heavily on Oklahoma, and I won. I think I won $100 or $150, and it was canceled out by the parking ticket I got in downtown Hartford while watching the game. So I broke even on that one.
They're
But
just
yeah, they Randy
terrible.
Etzel led them. He had them on the rise, and then Paul Pasqualoni came to town. How that guy keeps getting jobs is beyond me. I don't know if you've watched Hard Knocks, but I didn't realize what Paul Pasqualoni was doing these days, and I'm just watching Hard Knocks, and all of a sudden, he's sitting in the background. He's like the linebacker coach or something. Not even the linebacker's coach. He just coaches one guy,
One dude.
because that's all they'll allow
It's
these
not
days.
JJ Watt.
No. Anyway, Paul Pasqualoni just drove that franchise into a hole, and handsome Bob Diaco's done his best to try to revive them, but it's a tall order, so we'll see how that goes. My feeling is they should hire Kevin Kelly, the guy who coaches that Texas high school where they don't punt. I don't know
Right.
if you saw him on Real Sports, but that's who I want. Him
Yep.
or Kendall Briles. I'll take either one.
Yes, Kendall Briles for sure.
Anyway, I don't have a pick on this game. The line is about a touchdown. If you take Connecticut minus 8 points, you're really playing with fire.
I will not make a pick. We need to move on.
Okay, Dan, let's get into a speed round. I'll give you the games. You say first thing that comes to mind, short analysis, whatever. We've got a lot of games, so I just want to get through these ones quickly. We've
Excellent.
got Miami of Ohio at Wisconsin, about a 33-point line.
Take the points. Alabama is a physical team and they've definitely wore down Wisconsin. They'll be a little bit injured this week. Take the points.
Houston at Louisville.
Louisville is a tough team. Laying 12 and a half is also tough. Houston's been able to score points. I feel more comfortable taking Houston in the 12 and a half here.
Minnesota at Colorado State. Minnesota looked pretty good against TCU, or maybe TCU looked bad, but I thought it was a little bit of both. Hard to tell.
What do we got on the line for that?
6 points as of earlier today in favor of Minnesota. But it is an away game.
Hard one to call. Pass.
Okay. Stephen F. Austin at the aforementioned TCU. I don't have a line on this one, but do you think TCU bounces back and dominates this game, or you think they lay up?
Oh, they're gonna score about. Yeah, a ton. Like it's gonna be real bad. So if you can even find a line, lay it.
Toledo at Arkansas, 21-point line. Are you buying into Arkansas this year?
They have a lot of players to replace, but they did finish last year very strong. For a team that has a hard time kind of scoring points, I'd be hard pressed to lay 21 the first game I see them, so I'd probably stay away on this one.
So many injuries in week one, Dan. We thought Jonathan Williams of Arkansas was going to be the big injury in September, but there were just so many that happened. There's, well, Mike Williams, receiver of Clemson. I've got a list here. Jesse Ertz, the QB of Kansas State, out for the season. Taysom Hill of BYU, out for the season. James Conner of Pittsburgh, out for the season. Folston of Notre Dame. Vanderdose of UCLA, and then Penn State's best linebacker out for the season. You think it's just a coincidence, or do you think there's something going on with conditioning or strength of players these days?
No, I think it's probably pretty close to how it's always been, throughout like football history. Maybe there's a slight increase because players just are so big with their muscles, they're easier to tear and stuff like that. But I'm not a doctor.
That is true. All
I'm an
right.
honest, yeah.
End of speed round part one. Middle
Pick it.
Tennessee at Alabama, 34 points.
Lay it.
You think Alabama tries? They're pretty notorious for their week two sort of
Yeah.
semi-resting against bad opponents.
I'm just not in favor of taking the points there. I would take Alabama in a small bet.
Okay, now let's get back to some in-depth analysis that we're famous for. Buffalo at Penn State.
Oh boy.
So earlier today, Penn State was a 20.5 point favorite, over under 48. Man, I don't even know where to start. As a lifelong Penn State fan, that was one of the toughest games I think I've ever struggled through. Temple is better than usual, I'll give them that, but man, Penn State was just horrible. They don't seem to have improved at all from last year. In fact, they seem to have regressed. The offensive line couldn't do anything. Hackenberg seemed rattled by the third quarter, and he was taking sacks that he probably wouldn't have taken in other games. Now, Nyheim Wortman-White, with his leg injuries out for the season, he's their best linebacker. At linebacker U, at least the one thing you can count on is having strong linebacking core, and now they've lost their best guy. It's going to be a rough, very rough year, Dan.
Very rough year for be a Penn State fan.
And I'm not saying to take Buffalo. I would never say that, but you can never lay three touchdowns with Penn State this season. You just
Nope.
can't do that unless something changes. Also, I'd like to be the first one. We know that people overreact, and I promise you this has been well thought out, not an overreaction, but I'm not sure James Franklin is a good coach, Dan. He's a great recruiter, he's a great figurehead, he's a great leader, he's cool as hell, but in the game, he's super conservative. He reminds me of Paterno in his last few years where he's going downhill. I don't like it at all, Dan.
I agree. Same thing.
I would like to see him bring in a hotshot offensive coordinator, stick to recruiting, stick to leadership, and turn the keys over to a, Kendall Briles type young up and coming receiver.
Yeah, but they won't do it. You know how this is.
I know it's a little premature, I'll give him some time, but man, with the talent they've brought in this last year with his great recruiting, with Hackenberg, with the receivers are good. I mean, Deshaun Hamilton's a great player. The defense is great. It's just sad to see them lose that way. They're better
Right.
than that.
I agree. It's just horrible
Unacceptable.
offensive line. They have no chance.
But how this matters to you, this is not just me venting. How this matters to you, the listener, is that you are not allowed to lay points with them until I say it's okay.
Yes.
So don't bet on that game.
No.
All right, Dan. Maybe we should flip a coin for this one. We've got the undefeated Wake Forest travels to undefeated Syracuse.
Oh, yes.
This is a 12:30 game. I'm declaring this the Doris Burke Memorial ESPNU game of the week.
Yep.
Syracuse is a 4.5 point favorite.
Oh boy.
Words I never thought I'd say.
I'm taking the points with Wake Forest for a whole bunch of reasons. I don't feel like going through it, but I like Wake Forest and the points. I don't love it. Syracuse could win by whatever, but why are they laying points to a team in the ACC? I don't know. So there you go.
Eric Dungy actually looked pretty decent in relief of Terrell Hunt after he got injured. Dungy went, I wrote down the stats, 10 of 17, 114 yards, 2 TDs in relief. That is a banner year or a banner game for a Syracuse quarterback. Terrell Hunt, it should be noted, is now applying for his sixth year of eligibility now that he was injured so early. Dan, this is a joke just for the Syracuse people, but we just said before, in 5 years, watch out, he'll be working at Tully's with Dan Conley.
100% he'll be there. Don't worry about it.
All right, let's get back to things other people outside Syracuse can understand. I
Chicken
talked
tenders.
about. Okay. Last week, I mentioned my three sleeper teams: Arizona State, Texas A&M, Missouri. Arizona State lost, obviously. One of those teams had to lose. Texas A&M looking strong as a sleeper pick.
Yes.
And Missouri can't really tell from week one, but they won, which is the point of week one, accumulate wins.
Simple as that.
I have a fourth sleeper that I didn't get to, and that
Oh.
is the UMass Minutemen, Dan.
Oh boy.
I'm saying 9 wins for UMass this year,
Holy shit.
led by senior quarterback Blake Fronapfel.
That's a hell of a name.
I don't know anything about him except he's like ranked as one of the top 10 quarterbacks, possible draft pick next year. Well,
good for him.
You get a drafted QB playing for UMass against some of those crappy teams they play. And this is a really senior laden team, one of the most experienced teams in college football.
Minutemen.
They're going to be good this year, Dan. I'm calling it. UMass, strong year out of them. And they go to Colorado, and it's a 13-point line, and I think they're going to cover.
I agree. Take the Minutemen until further notice.
I would not be surprised if they win outright, but I'll take the points.
Colorado's now lost 9 games in a row, if you're counting at home. Let's just keep riding that. They might lose like 20 in a row. It could happen. So I would actually be inclined to take a nice little money line shot on this.
It's a bold move. You could tease that down to, or tease it up to 26 points, which I think would be fantastic.
Good. I got a money line for you. Plus 400 on the money line.
Really?
Yeah.
That's looking strong to quite strong.
Yep. I like that.
That's one of our picks, not our lock of the week. I let you handle that one, but that's one of my strong picks.
Okay, I got it.
All right, here's another one I like. Tulane at Georgia Tech. Georgia Tech played Alcorn State, who is not good, but they won 69-6, which shows that their offense is still kicking from last season. Yeah. Tulane lost by 30 to Duke. Georgia Tech is, you know, I love Duke football, but Georgia Tech is a much better team than Duke this year. So if Duke handled them by 30, now they've got to go into Georgia Tech. And you've got a 28-point line, lay it.
Lay it all day. I totally agree. Georgia Tech's really freaking good, and they're going to smash everybody for a while.
I think Georgia Tech has a legitimate shot of winning the ACC after watching week one.
Oh, absolutely.
We'll see. But I like them. I like them a lot. Smart kids. It's always nice to see smart kids do well.
Yeah, I agree.
It's not really what college football players are known for.
No, not so much.
All right. Notre Dame at Virginia. Lot to say with this one. Notre Dame was impressive, as I said, in week one. You didn't think so because you think Texas sucks.
Yep.
Virginia got blown out by UCLA. There's much debate over whether UCLA is awesome or Virginia just sucks. They also had to travel cross country, so I'm not reading much into that. I think Virginia is pretty bad. Sorry, go ahead.
No, sorry. They are no good, and their coach is on the hot seat. This game is to save the coach's life and coaching career. So you can either go at it one or two ways. You can go with Notre Dame and go for the kill on this guy, or you can take the coach. Notre Dame looked really good, so I'm going to lay the points with Notre Dame, surprisingly. I don't love it, but I think that's the way you got to go on this one.
I like this one a lot. I think Notre Dame should have no problem beating Virginia by a couple of touchdowns, even without Tarrion Falston, who's out for the year. They'll plug somebody else in. He won't be the same, but they'll get production. Maybe they'll have a couple guys. They do. I'm saying this off the top of my head, so I might be wrong, but I believe their next two running backs were a freshman who hasn't played yet and a guy who was playing wide receiver up until about a month ago. So we'll see. It's possible Notre Dame might really struggle in the run game, but I still think they get it done against an inferior Virginia squad.
Maybe. We'll see.
I sort of feel the same exact way about the next game, which is Georgia at Vanderbilt. Georgia looked impressive. Just hand that ball to Nick Chubb and get out of his way. Vandy doesn't look like they're anything special, as per usual.
No. Vandy's horrible, and they had a, you know, okay run with Franklin, but they are back to being unbearably bad, so stay away from Vandy. Georgia should be able to roll, lay the 21 all day.
Do you like Georgia this year so far? Seems like they're picking up where they left off.
Pretty standard for them, you know, scoring 55-plus against a no-name early in the year, so right on pace for the old Rick show. It's coming.
Georgia's first week one game is a prime example of why not to really pay much attention when you play a cupcake or a ULM team.
That's right.
You can't read too much into it.
Speaking of UL teams. ULL was playing against Kentucky. I was flipping around through the channels. Fourth quarter, Kentucky's up 33-10. I'm going, tough day for ULL. I flip back around. All of a sudden, it's tied up at 33. And I think ULL lost late on a last-second field goal, but they still covered for sure. But those sneaky ULL teams, be careful.
Every year, there's one Louisiana team that's feisty.
Yep.
A couple years ago, it was ULM. Then there was a year where ULL and ULM were both pretty good. And then I think the last couple of years, it's been ULL.
ULL again this year.
And then LA-Lafayette has been pretty good.
That's right.
La Tech was good for a few years. And now, thanks to recent play, LSU is about to descend down to those same ranks. So LSU might join the – they might not be the best UL
it's
team.
It's true. I know.
It might just be UL-SU.
I love all those Louisiana schools. They're great. They're underrated.
All right, Dan. Hawaii coming off a huge upset win against Colorado, which you predicted on this very podcast last week. They now have to travel very, very far to play the defending champs who beat up on Virginia Tech last night. It's a 38-point line. You would think Ohio State's going to roll them with all of that, but they are coming off a short week, and they were high for the Virginia Tech game. Is there any chance of a letdown in this game? Any chance of participating in some extracurricular activities and not showing up?
Yeah,
pulling a Khalid El Amin, as we call it here in Connecticut?
Yeah, well, it's very possible. Khalid was amazing. But anyway, Hawaii's got Max Whittick, man. He was like a super high high school recruit playing quarterback. But 40 points is still a lot. I would not really like to lay it with Ohio State. However, I do love the total only being 59.5. Ohio State could definitely score in the 60s. Hawaii's going to score some with Whittick. Over 59.5 is one of my favorite plays of the week.
Dan, you know I hate to compliment Ohio State, but they looked really impressive last night against Virginia Tech. And how about Braxton Miller switching positions? Already looks like the best receiver and maybe the best offensive threat on the team.
Not good for everybody. I told you, it's going to be a long season.
Yeah, what did you say? If you're an Ohio State hater, just close your eyes for 2 months?
Yeah, like there's literally no point to even pay attention. They all got to get excited when they were losing at halftime, and that'll be the last time they have any sort of sweat until January, so don't even worry about it.
They don't play that tough of a schedule. And somebody, I think it was one of the guys from Fox Sports got in trouble today for saying that Ohio State, that Urban Meyer couldn't hack it in the SEC, and so he left for an easier conference, which is one of the most ridiculous things I've heard.
Right.
You know, he won two championships at Florida. Secondly, he had the health issues that made him retire. And thirdly, he's from Ohio, so he went back home to the place he's always wanted to coach. But I do agree with the other part of it where he's – whether it's intentional or unintentional, he is taking a team that is as good as any of those SEC teams, and he's now playing a much easier schedule. I mean, the Big Ten has good teams, but week to week, you do not play the kind of talent you play in the SEC West.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So he's going to be the beneficiary of that, and I think we're looking at an undefeated or one-loss season if they play the way they played last night, and you can – pretty much pencil them in for the playoff right now. But
yep,
anything can happen. All right, Dan. Fresno State at Ole Miss. 3:30 game, 28-point line. Ole Miss dominated UT Martin, which I don't know what that means. Probably nothing. But I don't have a prediction, but I am very excited to see Ole Miss with Chad Kelly play a semi-decent opponent.
I know. Ole Miss looks strong, and they're going to roll again, lay the 29.
If they put up a similar performance against Fresno, a WAC team, or sorry, what do they call it, Mountain West?
Whatever the hell it is, yeah. Same.
Showing my age. If they put up a similar performance and they win, if they cover the spread, I'll say, they're a team to look out for. They're the real deal, if they can cover the spread.
All right.
What do we got? very quickly, Washington State, and they play at Rutgers. I thought Rutgers looked pretty strong in week one. They played Norfolk State, which is not really a real team, but they did put up 63 points, which is unheard of for Rutgers or Big Ten, most Big Ten teams. So Washington State goes across the country. I'm laying the two. No?
I have no thoughts. I'm going to stay away completely. No clue.
I'm sticking for my tri-state area boys.
You're on drugs. That's fine.
Hopefully they won't do a bunch of Jaeger bombs before the game.
They will do a lot of Jaeger bombs before the game.
Okay. All right. Here's a West Coast one. I'll let you tackle this one. San Diego State at California. Now, Cal won 73-14. It was against Grambling State, so not the best opponent. But again, anytime you're putting up 73 points, Dan, pretty impressive. San Diego State also won by 30-some points. Here's my question for you before you make a pick. Is Jared Goff the best or at least the most underrated QB in the country?
Ooh, that's hard to say. It's too early to say. I don't really have an answer to, you know, go over him. Hard to say, but I like Cal minus the 13 in this game.
I do too, and I feel at the very least, Goff is going to be this year's Connor Halliday, where he might not win a ton of games, but he's going to put up huge numbers. Remember Connor Halliday would have like 730 yards in a game? And you'd be like, you'd think it was a video game, or you'd think it was some sort of reporting error, like maybe a dyslexic person wrote down the box score. Then you're like, how is that even possible to get 700 yards in a game? But he did it over and over, 400-yard game, 500-yard game. I feel like Jared Goff is the new version of that. And even though Cal's not going to be awesome this year, I feel like he's going to put up some massive numbers.
I agree.
So lay the points and take the overs when possible.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. Pittsburgh at Akron, James Conner out for the season. Should Pittsburgh just give up on this year, Dan? It's your hometown. How do you feel about them?
No, because they still have a really, really good supporting cast. The running backs can be replaced, so keep it going, Pitt. Even though you look like shit the first week.
You say that out of love as a Pittsburgh native.
Sort of. Kind of.
Are you a Pittsburgh native? How long do you have to live in a place to be a native?
It depends how cool the place is. Pittsburgh's pretty cool, so me being there just for like 5 years and my family all being there their whole life, Pittsburgh native. If I like was at the World Series of Poker final table, I would be, you know, from Pittsburgh, PA. I would put that on there just to piss off all you assholes in upstate New York.
But if you were from Hazleton, PA, you would say New York City or Phoenix or something like that?
I would say like Chicago, Illinois, just to really, really turn the screw.
It's good life advice.
Thank you.
Oh, big game, Dan. Big game. Oklahoma at Tennessee. Pick 'em. A pick 'em.
Very interesting. I'm going to take Oklahoma. Tennessee hasn't proven anything in a couple of years. Not that Oklahoma really has either. I hate Oklahoma. Tennessee can be cool, but they're just not for some reason. Stay away from this game. Stay away.
The some reason is the curse of Philip Fulmer, Dan. Yep. When you fire a coach who's pretty decent, there's a chance you're just going to be horrible.
Yep, that's what happened.
Sometimes you have a coach who's going 9-3 and you think it's because he's underachieving, but it turns out you just had bad talent and he's overachieving. I think that's what happened to Tennessee for a few years. Although they always have NFL quality talent. They just can't seem to pull together a full team.
No.
A lot of injuries too.
Yeah.
Anyway, I feel exactly the same as you. Oklahoma's proven themselves recently. Tennessee hasn't. Go with the proven team until otherwise noted.
I agree.
Watch out for that air raid.
Air raid.
Air raid, freshman.
That's basically what's going to go down.
Ball State at Texas A&M. I think we said it all about Texas A&M earlier. I'd stay away from this one, personally.
Lay it, but, you know, I don't love it. It's a lot of points. 30's about right.
it's a bit of a letdown. This isn't really an important one for them. As long as they get the win, it doesn't really matter what the score is. So I'm going to stay away, although I definitely wouldn't bet on Ball State. That's for sure.
I agree.
All right, Dan, speed round version two. East Carolina at Florida. Is Florida for real?
Too early to say.
Missouri at Arkansas State. Missouri looked decent. Arkansas State got blown out. Lay the 10?
Yeah, probably.
All right. Arizona at Nevada.
Lay the 12 with Arizona. Nice little rebound game for them against a shitty Wolfpack team.
All right. Kentucky at South Carolina.
Old ball coach is a little sneaky. Lay it.
Rice at Texas.
Stay away. Close your eyes. Find a paper garbage bag. Put one on you. Put one on anyone else who walks in the room while that game's on.
Just to be clear, this is a stay away, not because the point spread is dead on, but because you don't want to be caught watching this game. No. There should be a name for that when it's a stay away due to poor quality of play.
Yeah. We'll think of something.
Yeah. We'll be back next week with a name for that.
Fair enough.
Idaho at Southern Cal. USC, a dominant performance over the Arkansas State Red Wolves.
Lay it. USC is going to put up a lot of points this year.
43. If you're going to lay the 43, do you also take the 66-point over?
Hook it.
All right. And Temple at Cincinnati. Temple looked strong against a shitty Penn State team.
Letdown alert. Letdown alert. Take Cincinnati.
All right. That's the end of our speed round. Let me get back to where we were. This one, I don't have a pick, but it's Marshall at Ohio. What I want to say is both teams looked more impressive than expected in week one. And I think this is going to be a key game when you're looking at bowl games. We're going to look back at this for both teams, and it's going to determine where they end up going. So if you like those divisions, I think this is an early surprise big game. Enjoy it.
Fair enough. I'm in.
Memphis at Kansas. Is Kansas going to win a game, Dan?
Nope. Lose out a whole year.
All right.
Lay it with Memphis on the road.
I'm inclined to lay. Did you ever think you'd reach a day where you wanted to lay 14 points with Memphis on the road? Against no. A Power 5 team?
Have to in this situation.
All right, Dan. Baylor plays Kendrick Lamar. Baylor struggled early against SMU, but they came together late. Seth Russell looked decent. Receivers looked great again. Linwood looked solid. Sean Oakman now out for the game, not that it matters. What do you think?
KD Cannon, Chris Coleman. It's the same shit. Here we go. Baylor, rev it up. 2015 Baylor Bears.
So you're not, obviously they'll crush Lamar, but you're not worried about future prospects when they play Big 12 teams?
Nope, they're going to smash everybody. Don't worry about it.
Dan, now we move on to a pick that you had last week that you did not win and did not look good at all, actually. That's Oklahoma State. They've got a crappy Central Arkansas this week, but what do you think about Oklahoma State? Do you want to retract your sleeper pick?
No, because it's a win on the road in unfamiliar territory. I should have thought about that. It was a sloppy game, but take the win, move on, go back to the Midwest. They'll be fine.
All right, another big game, possibly. LSU at Mississippi State, 4-point line. LSU the favorite in this game. Now, LSU, as I mentioned earlier, didn't play last week because of thunderstorms. Mississippi State won but didn't look too impressive. I don't know what to think about either of these teams.
I'm going to take Mississippi State at home with the more experienced quarterback. And, I don't understand this line. I think it should be close to a pick 'em. I think LSU might win by a field goal, but I'll take the 4, 4.5, definitely.
Okay, I would tend to agree with you. I don't feel strongly about this one, but Dak did go into LSU, into Death Valley last year and beat them.
Uh-huh.
And they return. They've lost a lot of talent, but they returned Dak Prescott. LSU hasn't proven anything in the last year or two, so
nope.
Take the points.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Boise State at BYU. We said that anything could happen with Boise last week, and they beat Washington 16-13. Not an impressive game by either. I don't think you can really glean much off of that win. Then BYU won on a Hail Mary, which, and they lost Taysom Hill, which means you can't really tell how good they're going to be. I guess that means it's a stay away to me, but I'm going to take Boise to win, probably by a field goal, so I think the line is probably right on.
Low scoring under.
You're right. It is a 55-point line. I didn't really pay attention to that, but that seems like an errant choice. Ill-advised, man.
Absurdly high under.
Yeah, I'm gonna call that a good pick, actually. This is why we work well as a team, because one of us totally misses something and the other one picks up on that obvious something. All right, UCLA at UNLV. Is Josh Rosen the real deal? He did look pretty good. I joke about him being Kenny Trill 2015, but he does look good. I just think the hype might be a little overboard.
UNLV is a complete train wreck. They are in shambles. It's going to be up and down the field all day. UCLA will put on a show because they're dicks. Lay it. Lay the 29.
All right. UCF looked really crappy last week, and now they go to Stanford, who also looked really crappy. This is a horrible matchup. I guess it's good if you look at it from the perspective that both of these teams sucked in week one. UCF lost to Florida International, and then Stanford lost to Northwestern, who might be okay. You never know. But Stanford is a 18-point favorite. Seems like a lot to lay.
Yeah, that's too many points. I'll take the under and the points.
I do feel good that one of these teams will get a win in week two. I mean, that's good for them.
Someone has to.
Yes. That should be the slogan of the game. Tonight on ESPN 5, Central Florida at Stanford. Somebody has to win.
Yes. Can't go wrong.
All right, Dan. You ready for the game of the week? Do you have any other thoughts before we get to it?
Let's do it.
All right. Saturday, September 12th, 8 p.m. Eastern. 67-point over-under. You've got the Oregon Ducks coming off a good to questionable win against Eastern Washington, and they play at Michigan State, who we can't really tell much about from their week one win. So let's start with week one. Vernon Adams looked good. Oregon D looked suspect. As I said, I don't think we learned anything about Michigan State. They are who we thought they were.
Uh-huh.
Do you have any thoughts on either of these teams that we can use for our gambling advantage?
It's really hard. Like, it's Michigan State minus what?
Three and a half. Earlier. I'm guessing that's going to come down to a three-point line exactly by game time.
I'm going to go with Michigan State at home with the more senior quarterback or the more experienced quarterback, Connor Cook. I would also lean the over. But it's really tough. I'm honestly going to stay away from this game altogether.
So I agree with you. I probably will stay away. I would lean the under, actually, because of the following reason. And I also will lean Michigan State, especially if you can get it at three. Veteran quarterback, somebody who will be a top NFL draft pick, strong running game, strong defense, tough in the trenches. Vernon Adams, although he looked good, this will be the biggest game of his career, his first true road game. I mean, I know they play road games at Eastern Washington, but those don't matter.
No.
This is the biggest road game of his career. Hostile environment, nighttime at Michigan State. Remember the one Michigan State game at night nobody turned out for and everyone made fun of them? So ever since then, the fans have doubled down, basically. So that's a tough place to play now at night.
Gotcha.
By the way, Michigan State fans are the best fans in the Big Ten.
Really?
Okay. Yeah, I would say they're the only nice fans, at least of the, well, I take that back. Fans of like Purdue, Indiana, the teams that can't compete, they're always nice. Fans of shitty teams are always nice because they know they can't win, so they're never going to cause trouble.
Exactly.
Michigan fans are horrible. Ohio State fans are horrible.
Intolerable.
Penn State, I like because I'm a Penn State fan, but I know that if you were the opposing team, they'd probably be annoying too.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Illinois, is annoying. Wisconsin, I think, are cool, but I haven't been to a Wisconsin game. But Michigan State are definitely the nicest, coolest fans. So congratulations.
Yes, thumbs up.
Probably just happy to be anywhere outside of 8 Mile. But either way, they're great. And I think they're going to come away with a big win, Dan. I think Michigan State is going to secure its spot in the top five. And I think Oregon will look good. They'll probably lose by 3 to 7 points, and they'll stay in the top, 15, maybe.
I agree.
I don't think this really kills them or hurts their season. Whoever wins or whoever loses, I don't think it's huge for whoever wins, but I don't think it hurts whoever loses in the long run.
I agree. Same thing.
Well, good. So don't bet on that game then, I guess.
Stay away. It's really, really tough. That's a tough gambling game.
So it's time, Dan.
Oh, boy.
The famous segment made famous last season on the Take the Points podcast that we forgot to do last week, but it's the Dan Partridge 4-team 13-point tease of the week.
Yes, this is a very fun segment where you need all four of your wagers to come in, but you can adjust the line by 13 points. So I think it's a way to make money. Tom thinks I'm letting my money on fire. I think I ended up positive last year, if I'm correct.
You can win, but I feel like the odds are not in your favor. My feeling is always that it's best to make straight up bets and just hope to win more than half of them.
Well, here we go. So anyway,
I'm more of a traditionalist when it comes to being a degenerate gambler, Dan.
Okay, fair enough. Here we go, folks. For your enjoyment, the first bet will be Utah in a pick'em home against Utah State Friday night. So you can go ahead and just win that one. Check that off. Put it in the books. I'll probably lose outright. Moving on. Next wager, we're going to tease down the over in the Ohio State game. We're going to bring that down to 46.5 and take the over on that. Ohio State should be able to score that by themselves. Then we're going to go up to upstate New York where nothing's going on. And we're going to go ahead and take Wake Forest plus 17.5 against Syracuse. Syracuse can't cover 17.5. No chance. No way. No how. The final wager of the day to complete the Dan P 4-team 13-point tees. We're going to take Michigan State at home plus 9.5 against Oregon. I don't see Oregon winning by 10 points or more. So for a recap, Michigan State plus 9.5. Utah in a pick'em. The over in the Hawaii-Ohio State game. And Wake Forest plus 17.5. Good luck, bettors.
All right, Dan, now it's time for our second most famous segment. Tom tells Dan why he's going to lose his 4-team tease.
Yes, I love this part.
So Hawaii and Ohio State, that over is pretty much a lock. I think Ohio State gets that on their own. Then you've got Utah in a pick'em against arch rival Utah State. I like that one a lot. I think Utah is clearly superior. Then Michigan State, I suppose it's possible that Oregon could look amazing and win that game. So I'm going to say that's a chance of an upset there, but I think you're probably on the money. But now we go to upstate New York where lots is going on. Having just wrapped up the great New York State Fair, I feel like Syracuse and their backup / new starting quarterback will come out full of fried dough and Bosco's pizza and sausages from the fair.
Can't go wrong.
Wearing a great New York State Fair t-shirt, for example, not only am I perfect, I'm Puerto Rican, or a picture of Africa that says the motherland on it.
Yes.
Because those are the kind of shirts they give out without any shred of irony or decency at the fair.
They're good people.
They'll recover from their wine slushy hangovers. And they will come in and they will beat Wake Forest down, win by 3 touchdowns against that inferior, studious, unathletic school from the South.
Oh, you're hilarious. Well, I'm looking forward to Saturday. That's all I'll say.
All right, Dan, what else do you want to throw in before we call this one a wrap?
Everyone should purchase the latest Unknown Mortal Orchestra album called Multi Love. They're a fantastic band. That's probably my favorite album of the year. A plus. Good job.
Is it bad I've never even heard of them?
No, it's probably a good thing.
Okay. Is it somebody I should have heard of? Am I getting old and lame? Or is it an underground band that I would need a word of mouth recommendation before I knew them? Or could it be
Yeah,
both?
kind of half and half.
How lame am I?
You're like a 4.5 out of 10. It's not that bad.
Oh, that's not bad at all. I would have
Yes.
taken the over on that.
There you go.
All right, Dan. Thank you for your great picks again. Hopefully, we'll win, although we never actually remember what we bet, and so we can never actually give a recap on whether we won or lost. I think we
Whatever.
were 500 last week, though.
Roughly.
We'll aim to do better for the rest of the season.
Okay,
You
sounds
can listen
good.
to the podcast at takethepoints.net or on iTunes or on the iPhone podcast app. You can hit us up on Pinterest or LinkedIn.
LinkedIn, I prefer LinkedIn.
Yes, please recommend Dan for content marketing skills and then send him a message. And we're also on Twitter at dpartridge10, is that right?
That is correct.
And the fake Tom Z. And until next week, thank you for listening. Bye.
Take the point.